Welcome to ACN.
Okay. Kathleen, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you, Jerome. How are you?
All right. I'm good. Hey, Ronnie.
Hi.
Oh, boy. Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Professional. Professional. Mind you.
We're going to try to keep it professional.
We're going to keep it professional. This is hilarious. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams, and I'm here with the lovely Ronnie, my co-host. Hey, Ronnie.
Good evening, everyone.
And our wonderful, wonderful co-host, we're co-hosting you, Jerome.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Our professional style, Mr. Jerome Esprit of Esprit Net News. Hey, Rome.
Hey, people.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Okay, so how is Queens? How are you guys doing?
Well, Queens is getting better as far as, you know, businesses being restored to power. Still, a whole lot of communities are out. Homes are still in the dark. And the gas lines are miles and miles and miles and hours and hours and hours. So it's still hard for folks to get gas. But you know, we're coming back to normalcy. Yeah, they picked up a few trees in what we call Southeast Queens today. They picked up a few trees. A few of my friends have called and said that, you know, they have their lights on. But for my friends who are listening, when you call me, don't ask me if I have lights. Trust me. When you call me, if I have lights, I will tell you. Because everybody's calling me like, you have lights in? And I'm like, no. Oh, we got our lights. Oh, you have lights yet, Kathleen? No. Oh, we had our lights last night. I'm like, okay, all right. I don't have lights. Trust. I still don't have lights, everybody. But and it's getting cold. The temperatures are dropping, so kind of chilly. So it's an interesting dynamic. But I think I found a cure. For the transportation, though. Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to get a horse.
Oh, no.
I'm going to get a horse. I have a friend in Texas, and he has a horse named Royalty. And I sent him a text message, and I asked him how soon he could get Royalty up here, but send her with several bales of hay, because that, you know, we don't have any hay. And he said, okay. So I think I've got it solved.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll have to keep that all in mind. You're on your own with that. I'm sorry, I'm not with you.
Yeah, there's no gas.
Wait a minute. Will Ronnie ride the horse as well?
Yes.
She'll drive, and I'll ride shotgun.
She says you're right, shotgun. That is stagecoach talk. Y'all have been practicing that.
Right, well, okay, shotgun. We lived out west for a long time.
Oh, boy. We lived on the west for a long time. Yeah.
Oh, I see. The Wild West. Okay.
The Wild, Wild West. And, oh, and I will say, though, that it has been very Wild, Wild Westy out here on the East
yeah.
Coast.
Yes, yes.
You know, people are fighting, they are getting, tensions are rising.
More than normal.
Yes. We've post-traumatic no lights disorder over here.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
you know, people.
So when you say more than normal, see, now that's the problem. If you would have just told me that they was fighting, I would have just been like, okay.
Yeah,
but more than normal.
More than normal, it's like, right, because just fighting is no big deal, but fighting more than normal. And everybody, you know, and anywhere, you know, in the pharmacy, in the grocery store, definitely
yeah.
at the gas pump, you know. So you have to be very careful when you go out.
Right.
But, you know, it's starting to come back. It's starting to come back. So everybody hold on to your hat. Hold on to your horses. No pun intended.
Yes,
yeah, and we'll get it back. So from what we understand now, schools are going to be open tomorrow, but parents, if you are listening, go check out the school first before you drop off your child, because they are also saying that there's no heat in a great deal of the schools. So they're saying dress your children warm and send them to school. And to me, that's kind of crazy, because Ronnie and I were saying schools are freezing anyway. As if schools are freezing when they have heat.
Oh, that's true.
You know, so if you're going to send your kids, so if you're going to send your kids to school, you're going to have to send them with those little, what are those warmer things, the hand warmers in your shoes and in your mittens and all that stuff, and you got to really dress them up in layers, because who knows, they're going to get sweaty when they start running around, and then they're going to get cold when they sit down, so, you know, so be careful with that, and, what was the other thing that they said they're getting ready to do? Oh, the majority of the transportation is back up in the city, but you'll have to leave about 4 or 5 hours early because it's going to be jam-packed going into the city. But they lifted the restrictions on all the bridges, so you don't have to pick up hitchhikers anymore on on the bridges.
To get across the bridge.
To get across the bridge. So that's the extent of the news that I have right now for this side of New York City. What else is going on, Ronnie? You know everything.
I know everything. I definitely have a word for everybody, too. Patience and kindness. Everybody just extend a little word of kindness, because that's one thing that I really thought was lacking. You know, we could have been in a way worse situation.
Yeah.
There's places that don't come back.
That's right.
And so at this particular point, if you could just have a kind word for your neighbor and be thankful that, you know, when we started out, there was 5 million people without lights, and now it's down to like 500,000 people without lights in some places. Queens is down to like 160,000
right.
Started at 2.1 million.
Yeah.
So it is getting better. Of course, nobody thinks that because they were miserable before.
and because I'm still in the number without power, I'm still, my face is still twisted even as she's saying that, but yes, it's true, and I agree. And I agree. So it's moving. It's moving in the right direction. So what do you think, Jerome? What's going on up in Syracuse?
Well, you know, I was thinking, since you guys don't have that commuter rule, I couldn't just hitch a ride with one of y'all to come into the city, because I don't like paying those tolls, you know. So I never really understood why you got to pay so much money to come in New York City more than leaving, but that's just me. So
yeah, it is expensive.
Commuter rule, as long as they don't charge the extra person for coming in, I kind of figured
that's
I'd just
right.
wait outside, wait for one of y'all to come in. it's like being at a party back in the days, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to wait for my folks to come in. I'm with them.
That was, that actually was pretty good. I wonder if they were charging people as they were picking them up going through the bridge. I guess they were so happy. They're so happy to get a third person that they're like, you know, come on, just let's go for the ride.
Oh, wait a minute. So they must have waved the tolls too then, right?
No, but they did wave the public.
I don't like the way you said that. You're like, no.
They didn't wave the tolls.
Okay. I thought they did for one day. They didn't do it?
I didn't hear that. I heard them wave.
I know they. No, you're right. You're right. They waved the. No, they did. I think one day they waved it. But you couldn't go in without three people. And then they did, but they did waive the MTA, like Ronnie said. They waived all the bus. The buses were free, and if you could catch a train, it was free.
And alas, they gave out 10 gallons of free gas if you were dangerous enough to go on the street.
All right.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad you said that, because I decided that I am not gangster enough to live in New York City.
Really?
I gotta find somewhere. Oh, yeah. You have to be gangster to live here. Because let me tell you what they were doing yesterday. The oil rigs, the trucks bringing the gas into the city.
The oil tankers.
When they got on the highway, everybody was beating people out of the way to get behind the tanker so they could follow them to the gas station so they would be first in line to buy the gas. So they didn't even know where they were going. They were just following the trucks and fighting with people on the highway so that they could be speeding behind the oil rigs. So they had National Guardsmen following the oil tankers and, you know, with their M16s and everything else, telling people to move back. They're following the rigs too close. So I was like, I would never have thought of to race down the oil truck and just follow it all over the city.
Yeah, and you know why? Because that's not smart. And the reason is that they don't keep empty oil trucks in New York City, so they would have had to go to a station to fill up and then go to the gas station. Those tanks were probably empty.
That's what they were doing.
Right.
They were going to fill them up, and they were following them
wherever they went.
Right. You can't go into the terminals to find out where they offload from the oil ships, from the whatever you call them. So. That was weird that they would do that, because that's not smart.
Nope, but they're not smart. We said gangster.
We didn't say smart.
Well, I'm saying, but you can't follow them. If you follow them to the terminals, you'll just have a line at the terminals, and by the time they come out of the terminals, you're facing the wrong way. And so now you got to follow them to whatever gas station they're going to
from the terminals.
And that's what they did. And that's why I'm saying gangster, right? Because they
had. That's not gangster. That's crazy.
It's crazy, but if you are a gangster, you're going to do whatever is necessary to flip your car around to follow him in the other direction. And they were crazy.
Gangster, gangster action number two. go to CVS and buy a teaspoon gas can.
Oh, yeah.
It probably holds a gallon and a half of gas. Maybe two.
A lawnmower gas can.
And fill that one gallon for $30 and then buy a real gas can.
Oh, God.
But this is what's going on. There was a guy that owned
one
a bagel shop. Yeah, 1 gallon for $30. There was a guy that owned a bagel shop near a gas station, and he got his employees to start selling people bagels and coffee in their cars in the gas line. So,
mm-hmm.
You know.
That is New York and entrepreneurship at its best. Lucky they would have T-shirts. Come get a Sandy. Yeah.
That's great.
If they would have power,
bro.
They would have been T-shirts.
Hold on. We'll be back. If we had some gas, we would be running to the T-shirt factory right now. I survived Hurricane Sandy.
So, yeah, we'd be taking a long break.
Yeah. We'll be back, y'all. With T-shirts. We'll be back.
Oh, no. I already know.
We will be back with T-shirts. Oh, my gosh. So this has been one heck of an experience, though, I'm telling you. So there's a whole new way of living in New York. A whole new way of living in New York. So you got to have, what were those things that the sister was telling us to get? The barrels that you use to mail goods to the Caribbean. they have the paper barrels and then they have the plastic ones, right? So what I found, if you don't hang out with the Jamaicans and the Caribbean people, you know nothing. So you got to get the barrels, and you get like two of them, and you fill them up with water and keep them in your basement at all times. So you're always prepared. So if your water stops, you can still flush your toilet. You can boil some of it if you need to make some tea or whatever it is. Have your car, your garage, your emergency bags packed at all times. And what were some of the other things? Oh, gas cans. You got to have gas cans, at least four, that you keep in your garage and so forth. So now we have to really think disaster preparedness in New York in ways that we never thought of it before. So, you know, it's a whole new life now that we're having hurricanes. Because last year we had Irene. Irene was a little bit milder. And this year we had Sandy around the same time, right?
Just a little bit later. That's what really makes it bad, because at least when Irene hit last year, it was still early fall, so it was still warm.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But this is a sneaky, low-down, dirty trick, because you get a hurricane in the dead of fall, and then this temperature hits winter, you know, it dips down to winter temperatures now, and people are really in dire straits. I have a solution, though.
What is it?
In case any hotel owners are listening.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Marriott.
Open up the hotel and let the people in. I know they're rough, though. There's some rough people out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But they did it in Katrina. They did it for Katrina all over the country.
And that's why
they
won't open them up, but they still need it.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, Katrina messed it up for everybody. That's pretty much what Ronnie just said.
And for our commercial messages.
I guess I was going to say, does that mean you want to take a break? I can feel that coming.
I don't believe she said that. But, okay, so, yeah, it did get a little rough in some places. But you're absolutely right, because a lot of folks really do need hotels. The Rockaways, I spoke with Leslie early today, my girlfriend Leslie, for anybody who's listening. She lives in Far Rockaway. And her landlord had to rip down the walls on the first floor because the water went as high as 7 feet on the first floor. And the first floor is their, you know, the living room area and so forth of her landlord, because they're, you know, it's a duplex. So the landlord has first floor and second floor, and she lives upstairs. So he had to rip down all the walls and get whatever that chemical is. If your house was saturated, filled with water from the beach and the mud and all that kind of stuff, you do have to have a chemical treatment in or behind where the walls were saturated to prevent the mold. You can't just take down the wall and replace it, because the mold spores can possibly still grow. So you got to treat it with that chemical solvent, whatever that solvent is, and then replace the wall. So he has already done that, ripped down those things. But I have another girlfriend, and all of her belongings on the first floor completely destroyed. So what I was told is that everyone in the Rockaways who had a first floor dwelling, all of their belongings, furniture, carpets, everything are all on the street. And that's why they didn't evacuate, because they have had such tremendous problems with looting. So they are literally there guarding their belongings that are outside, because they can't take it back in until they're able to rip down their walls and start and get all the muck and sand and gunk from the ocean out of the building.
And because of the looters is why the hotel owners won't open up and let people in. Now, as far as being a looter, do you go to, like, looter college? Where do you go to?
Jerome, I'm sending her to Syracuse.
You know what? See, we're gonna, no, she's fine there. I'm just saying, y'all, she riding shotgun, y'all got all that stuff under control. I don't really mess with Ronnie like that. I just want to tell y'all, for the record, I'm on Ronnie's side. She riding shotgun.
Looter College, Ronnie? Looter College.
I don't know. I don't know what Luther College is.
We have the same mother and father. I don't know. I don't know. Luther College.
I am annoyed.
Well, and they do. I don't know. And I don't know what how it happens either, but it's just like all of a sudden people say, oh, it's looting time. You know, what time is it? It's looting time. And they just go for it. One of my other girlfriends owns a really beautiful salon here in Queens. And Monday night, while the winds were still blowing, they bashed in her window to try and, you know, to bust into the salon.
What were they looking for?
That's what we're trying to figure out. They couldn't, what were they going to walk down the street with the dryers? You know,
or,
pink chairs.
Going to get a washing set. I'm just saying, like, what are you going to, it's like, you could wash me in there.
It's like ridiculous.
It's just terrible. Just terrible.
To take advantage of people
at
a time like this is just abominable. It is. It's atrocious. It is just atrocious. But I love some of the people who have signed up and said, please loot. I love to shoot. That's my
Would that happen to be one of Ronnie's signs or no?
No, Ronnie's.
Please,
Luke, I love to shoot. I didn't see that one. Was somebody came to where Ronnie was asking if she was somebody's cousin, and she's like, I'm not her cousin, but I'm Smith's cousin.
Yeah, I'm in between Smith and Wesson. Both of them, my cousins.
Smith on my father's side. Oh my goodness. Anyway, it's good to be able to laugh about it. It really is. It's good to be able to laugh about it. So Ronnie's going to tell us about Saturday Night Live.
Oh my God.
Okay, wait a minute. Before you do that, Ronnie, why don't you give us that after the break? Let's go to a break
awesome.
And you give us Saturday Night Live after break. Come back.
That sounds great. All right, you're listening to Professional Style. I am your host, Kathleen Williams. I'm here with Ronnie and Jerome, and we are having comic relief to the Hurricane Sandy, but giving you news at the same time. So call in, talk to us, 909-265-9189, 909-265-9189. We're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
Day. We're at A&T University. We are at the greatest homecoming on earth. That's what they say. I'm fired up about talking to all my people out here at A&T. I'm very excited to go out there and really just continue to motivate them, to continue to motivate everyone they know to get involved, to make sure that we're voting for Barack Obama, make sure that we're going in the right direction, and all the strides that we've made over these last 4 years will continue to just get greater.
President Obama won here 2008 by 5 votes per precinct. 5 votes. So what that means is that there's no one here that can say that your vote doesn't matter.
I'm excited about Barack Obama winning this election, and I am so, so crazy excited that our future is bright and endless and possible as long as we use our voices to move it forward. Go vote now!
I want to see more serious political conversations starting to happen.
I want corporations out of the government, and I want people back in.
I want peace rather than militarization.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want economic justice.
I want to be able to speak my voice without jeopardizing my job.
I want a greater regulation of the banks and the market.
I want my kids to have a job and health care.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
The stuff some folks are saying about President Obama sounds kind of familiar. The same people said my ideas would destroy jobs, and they call me every name in the book. Well, we created 22 million new jobs and turned deficits into surpluses. President Obama's got it right. We should invest in the middle class, education, and innovation, and pay down our debt with spending restraint and asking the wealthy to pay a little more. Sound familiar?
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. U.S. consumer confidence jumped to the almost five-year high in October. Separate data showed that construction spending rose and first-time jobless benefit claims dropped by 9,000. The Institute for Supply Management survey showed an expansion in manufacturing. Car maker Ford has reported losses in Europe offset by record profits in the U.S. The company said it earned a record $2.3 billion in the U.S., partly thanks to the increase in sale price. Ford said European car sales across the industry were the lowest in 20 years. It believes the problem in Europe were personal debt and government austerity. In a new online poll, Vanity Fair and 60 Minutes posed a question. If you were directing a new film of the New Testament, which actor would you cast to play Jesus? Denzel Washington was the winner, with 21% of the people preferring him. There were no other actors of color in the top 10. President Barack Obama vowed, "We will not quit," as the U.S. rebuilds after Superstorm Sandy hit the East Coast. The president put a 15-minute rule to respond to emergencies for governors, mayors, and other offices affected in the area. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News on ACN.
And I'm going to get my car, so Bonnie, take over.
Yes. We're moving our car to a better location so that we can keep our eyes on them tonight. So, Jerome, I watched the Saturday Night Live episodes last night.
Uh-huh.
And moving on to a different topic now, the fabulous, most exciting presidential election in my recent history. And hopefully everybody else's recent history. It's awesome. But they did several spoofs on the hurricane that were hilarious beyond anything that I could imagine. But they were so perfect. They were so dead on. And they featured them on the World News Tonight. So that lets you know how funny they were. So they came on right out the gate with Governor Christie, who is now having this fabulous bromance with Barack Obama.
Uh-huh.
Did you happen to see any of the press conferences that Governor Christie had last week?
Yes, I definitely did see the press conferences and the some of the audio clips from the press conferences. I did see those.
And so every other word out of his mouth was, "And the president called me, and then he called me again, and then he said, good morning, and then he said, oh, I'll be happy to help you." Are you back?
Yeah.
"I'll be happy to help you, and yes, anything that you want." He told me anything that I wanted I could ask. So naturally they, "Are you going to do it for me?"
Yeah.
Okay. So they go and come on right out the gate with Governor Christie saying, "I spoke to the president, and he was so helpful, and he said I could have anything I wanted, and I told him my people were suffering, and my people are suffering, and he said, whatever you need, whatever you need." And then he says to me, "I'll do whatever you want, and I'm going to vote for I might be missing a few words, but he said, on Election Day, I am going to vote for Mitt Romney, but I'm going to hate it.
Because you, you know, and that is the beauty of Saturday Night Live, because the beauty of Saturday Night Live goes like this: he was so mean towards the president, right?
That's
generally, and just in his conversation, you can tell that he likes him now, but he does not. He can't support him, but he likes him. So that's pretty cool. They pick up all that stuff, yeah.
They are brilliant minds, man. They are brilliant minds on Saturday Night Live, and the, of course they had the sign interpreters, and so you know, and they had them on Saturday Night Live too, and so that was really fun. So I didn't get to watch the whole thing because Ronnie didn't call me to tell me to turn
right.
it on, but I am gonna watch it online.
Okay,
so anyway, Saturday Night Live, Comic Relief from Saturday Night Live, which was really good.
You know, and
so,
I would have prepared some audio from Saturday Night Live if I would have known. I didn't think about it, but I could have pulled the audio for you and played it on the show, but I didn't. It didn't even cross my mind because I didn't see it, so I didn't know that it was so funny. I kind of figured it would be because this is prime time, the Sunday before election.
The election,
you can get every blow in that you need to. So that was it.
And they really got Bloomberg too.
They should
with his Spanish.
Right, with his slow Spanish. That's not even broken Spanish. That was like slow interpretive Spanish.
Really terrible slow interpretive Spanish. Yep. And they, Ronnie will have to tell us about what they said about Bloomberg when she gets back. But she was talking about, he was saying to Hispanics, you know, you just have to understand because white people are going to be very angry if they can't have their, you know, Homeland and HBO and Showtime. So you have to be very patient. You know, it's really awful.
Oh, gosh. Uh-huh.
Really awful. So, but anyway. That is what is happening on Saturday Night Live. They are giving the candidates a real run for their money, and they get funnier and funnier. Because I remember the last election, they were doing those skits that people were getting really angry about. Because do you remember the ones they did about Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton with President Obama, and how they would they got on the plane. He got on the plane asking them to go doing some campaigning for him. They're like, oh, we're going to go do some campaign. We're going to go do some stomping over here in, you know, Idaho or whatever. So they're like, oh, okay. So they get on the plane, and they're on the plane together, and the president gets on another plane and goes to another
No, I don't remember. I don't remember.
So they just drop them off, and they drop them off, and they're, like, out there by themselves. And they're like, what's going on? Where is everybody? Oh my gosh, it was hilarious. But anyway, people were getting upset. They were saying it was racist and all this other kind of stuff. But these guys, they just go for it. So, you know, hats off to the writers for SNL.
Yeah, you know, and that kind of speaks to the fact that the Romney, you know, Mitt Romney has not had a press interview in 24 days.
Has it been 24? I was wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, and it speaks to strategy, though. So they figured he makes so many mistakes, they're going to stop him from talking. So they think they can coast out towards the end. And when his whatever his ratings or polling peaked for him, he stopped talking. Because Saturday Night Live would have just beat him and Paul Ryan up, so they stopped talking.
Unbelievable. And I haven't heard from Ryan since they were jumping on him after the debate.
Yeah, because they both stopped talking. Isn't that amazing, huh?
I think he disappeared when the president said, "Yeah, we have bayonets and horses."
I think they all disappeared when he said that.
They all disappeared when they said that.
They all disappeared when he said that. I have not heard a peep out of them. The last thing that I heard was some clips from Romney at his campaign speech the day after, 2 days after Sandy. Sandra. We upgraded her. It's the Hurricane Sandra.
Okay.
And they showed him lifting bottles of water, loading bottles of water onto the truck. And I'm sitting there looking at him, and I'm saying, okay, so he's doing some disaster relief, but interestingly enough, in this shot, there's nobody but him. There's nobody else around loading the truck. There's nobody getting the water. There's nobody, just him picking up some things of water. I'm like, okay, Romney.
Oh, did you see when somebody gave him canned, you know, like they brought canned goods and all that, and they gave him food to put in the food bank?
Uh-huh.
And he picked it up like this.
Oh, she's holding her nose, like squeezing his nose like he was like candy. Like, what? His pinky in the air, the two fingers holding the can, like, oh my God, you don't want me to touch that, do you?
Exactly. You know, now, you know what's interesting about that is that that's very old school on political strategy, right? You just need the photo op. But with YouTube, with the internet, with all of these news stations and, you know, 29,000 cable stations, that you can't hide a clip anymore. So when you do a stage photo op, you have a video that goes with that. So you can't just have a picture of you cleaning a pot as your, you know, thing for the paper. You have video now that people are showing that nobody else is around and the rest of the pots are clean. Like, you can't crop off the fact.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad because I'm watching Ryan wash this pot, and I'm like, nobody has cooked anything in that pot ever. That pot was sparkling clean. Like,
yeah,
you're trying to tell me that you're using that to feed homeless or people who are sick. There was no dirt in the water, no stains on the pot. There was no food on the pot. I'm like, okay. So they went to Walmart and got some clean pots and gave him some water, and he was scrubbing like it's nobody's business.
Well, that not-for-profit had to release a statement after that because they said, we told them that they can come, you know, when people were eating. So since they came late, everybody was done. The workers cleaned up, and he still came in and said he wanted to take a tour, and they said, okay. And then they mocked that up by putting some pots in there and spraying water on them. And so the not-for-profit had to release a statement because, you know, to have a 501c3 status anyway, you can't have any political affiliation. So they were putting their status at jeopardy just by favoring one or the other. And then that was staged. So they had to call it out for being staged. They said, we didn't ask him to do that. And he wasn't here helping feed anybody.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what I have to actually appreciate about the president. You didn't see him go into Jersey acting like he was handing out canned goods for no photo op.
No.
Right? He went to the podium and said, look, here's what y'all need to do. Y'all call them 15 minutes. Peace. That's what the president does.
I'm out.
I got things to
do. I'm out. Yeah. I have not seen him doing any fake stuff like that.
Yeah.
Ever. Not even in the last campaign. I saw more in the last campaign of him, you know, he would be at some of the campaign offices. He'd walk through, talk to people.
Oh, he brought in pizza and stuff to the campaign office. We've seen pictures of that. But that's more genuine, right? He came in and said, I'm going to feed them.
Exactly. But and also when I was stopping for him in Ohio, I would have wanted him to bring us some pizza because we were out there in the cold knocking on people's doors, people slamming their doors in our faces. You know, there for hours.
Yeah. You were in the wrong part of Ohio?
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you. There was me and a bunch of people who did not look anything like me, and I was knocking on their doors, and they're like, what do you want?
What you want? And
and no, I'm not voting for him. Slam.
I would say at least they told you, but I would have preferred not to know in that case. They're like, I'm not voting.
Yeah. And we tried it. Well, can we just leave some information? Why? No. Don't leave anything. So... But, you know, we did it anyway. We did it. We made the rounds. We made the phone call. And I would make it a pizza. Make it a pizza.
You know, there you go.
Yeah, make it a pizza.
I have a question, Jerome.
Yes.
Now that, you know, we've been making jokes about the fact that Chris Christie really, you know, he got to the point where I was starting to get nervous and uncomfortable because he said, and then the president, he called me again and he woke me up at 12 midnight and then he called me again. And I was on the telephone with him, with other government officials, and we were on the phone for like 20 minutes and then he called me again.
And
then
when the president was talking the other day.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he called me, and then when he was here, he looked at me and I'm like, all right, dude.
Why would you get nervous?
He's having a love affair with the president.
Yes, I'm getting nervous.
No, don't do that.
Everybody's saying that he's got this love affair going on with the president, and then Mr. Bloomberg comes along and says, "Oh, I've decided that I'm going to endorse Barack Obama for re-election," which I thought was huge. And now I'm wondering if Chris Christie might secretly, even though today he denounced the fact, because they asked him today during his press conference, was he going to vote for Barack Obama? Was he going to now change parties and endorse Barack Obama? He said, absolutely not. Everybody knows that I have been campaigning for Mitt Romney. I've helped him raise millions and millions of dollars. I feel like he's the best person for the job. I still do. But there's no reason why I can't commend the president. And plus, I, you know what? So my question to you is, if in fact, by some freakish, chance, Mitt Romney did become president, he already said he was going to cut off FEMA, all the money that the president has earmarked for these people to get disaster relief, would it be cut off?
Probably would. The way
that
works.
I just want to put that out on airwaves, people.
He probably would. But
I'm asking a professional. I want you people to know I don't care what kind of mud, I don't care how much sand is up to your calf, I don't care where your car is and how much gas you don't have, you need to get out and vote.
Well, and I can say this way as well. You know, the thing about Chris Christie and him, you know, going on Marine One and saying, I never dreamed that I'd be on Marine One, you know, my family and this and that. He was completely in awe of the president. And the reason that is because when you don't know somebody, you'll talk noise out the yang for not liking somebody. But when you see power in his presence, you just pretty much bow down. And so what it was is that the president comes in, right, and Chris Christie was like, hey, you know, yeah, I'm the governor of New Jersey, and Jersey's a small state. It's the largest, how can I put this? It's the most condensed populated state in the nation for as far as people. But essentially, North Jersey is a suburb of New York City. Like, that's my big secret there, right? And so and we know the Pine Barrens is barren land, right? And you got 1 million square miles of nobody living there.
Right.
But even the middle part of Jersey don't have anybody living in it. So the trick in understanding Chris Christie's issue is that he saw what the presidency is, and he was that's starstruck. He had to bow down because the president has a lot of power, especially in natural disasters. So he could have made phone calls all he want. Usually governors go on TV and they beg the president to call them back.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So, right? And so when the president steps in and you see Marine One pull up and you see people in your state bowing down to him, Chris Christie just needed to be next to him. Because I was amazed. I wasn't amazed at anything, but I was kind of laughing at the fact that everybody who the president shook hands with, Chris Christie kind of went behind him and tried to shake their hand. Because Chris Christie said at the press conference, I told all of y'all not to come, but since y'all here, like, he's mean-spirited, right? But the president is in town. They don't give a rat's about Chris Christie, right? That's truly a Democratic state, and he was probably going to lose his next race as governor anyway. So he's not polling that great. They like him, but it depends who runs against him. So the issue is when the president, when the rock star comes to town and everybody start coming out to see them, you don't let that dude walk around by himself and
shun him.
So there was a lot of things playing in that. It was the emotion of the people seeing the president. It's still a Democratic state, and he was not going to let that energy go unscathed, and he became a groupie like everybody else.
He became a huge groupie.
He did.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
And
he holds all the cards.
He's still today, he was like, and there's no reason why I can't give the president a compliment without you all thinking politically that I'm changing parties. But he, I believe, the, like the man said, I was going to vote for him, but I was going to hate it.
I think he's actually going to vote for the president.
A lot of people are going to vote for the president and not tell anybody. Of course they are.
Yeah.
Right. And so Chris Christie is not doing himself any favors. Like, Democrats are going to like him either.
Right.
Right. That's Mitt Romney's claim to fame. I was a governor in a Democratic state. So what?
Right.
You won't carry that state. Ryan, since he's been put on the ballot, has not moved the polls in Wisconsin one iota.
Well, they're telling us that right now we just saw a report that said they were running neck and neck. Didn't he? He just said that the president was 48% and he was 48%. But the bottom line is the rest of the electoral vote, the president is slam dunking him. And if he wins Ohio, he don't have a chance.
Okay. See, here's the thing. All right. So, and this is my little area, right? And so when I did radio this morning, I was on Clear Channels, and Clear Channels in this area syndicates Fox News, right? And it was hilarious to me because the anger is out there. Like, they are just like
– Fox News last night, too.
Oh,
yeah. Well, if you watch Fox News right now, they're not covering the presidential election. That should tell you a lot.
Uh-oh.
They're still talking about Benghazi and all of that stuff.
Uh-oh, that's bad. That's a bad sign.
That's a good sign.
No, it's a bad sign for Mitt Romney.
Oh,
it is.
Right, because what it is that they're still trying to tear down the president. If you're winning, you start getting giddy, showing the victory parties. Here's what we're going to do. It looks like this is going to happen. This does not look like that from their side. They've been lying so much that they can't even keep up their energy anymore to say, we're going to win this thing. That's a media issue that they're saying, the camp is saying this or this campaign is saying this, but what do you expect them to say going into the last couple of days? So the polling is always close, like it was in John McCain. You know, when John McCain ran.
Yeah.
The last 3 days, the polling was tight. And I remember Pat Buchanan on TV saying, oh, we're going to go all night. The polls are showing
that,
you know, Michael Steele. All of those fools did the same thing. And everybody seems to not, yeah. And most people have amnesia for that because they fall for the same thing every year.
Yep, they said it's going to go all night. He's so close. Definitely, this could go either way. And if McCain just does this and that, he's going to have it.
They're trying to get last minute voters.
Like, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
If Mitt Romney can come up with, because he's saying he's got to put him, he has to put an election win together.
Yeah.
So he's trying to run from this state to this state to this state to see if he can get any of these electoral votes that the president already has wrapped up.
Right.
Well, let me help you out with why they're running from state to state. Do you know once you buy up media time in one area, you can't buy anymore? So they're buying in Pennsylvania now because they can't buy anymore in Ohio. So don't believe that that's what a political spin is to make you think that they're trying to go in other states, but they've saturated it with enough. You can only sell but so much ads without like the equal time. So you got local politicians, you got state politicians, you have the national stuff, and then you have the PAC stuff, and they only allot so much political ad per hour on any particular station, and they're in Ohio, they're done.
Wow.
They don't have any more.
Oh, I didn't know
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's pretty much how that
goes. So when you say they go state to state, that means that, you know, they have to go on foot then because they can't reach the people
that just means that they start buying time in other states, like someplace else. So the polling had solidified about 30 days out that the president was about 5 or 6 points ahead, and he hasn't closed a gap. So they're shooting in the dark. They're like, okay, well, Pennsylvania's a swing state. Pennsylvania's not a swing state.
Right.
Never been one.
Right,
so
right.
Their attempt now is to try to get people not to vote. That's their best shot, is to try to suppress vote.
Yeah, that's the concern that I have. So listen, I saw the line for early voting. The lines were like hours and hours and hours long, hundreds and hundreds of people in line for early voting.
Hey, I know, but you know, how about this? Let's talk about early voting. Let's take a break. We're going to talk about early voting and all this other stuff because I do have some numbers for you for
okay,
early
great.
Voting.
Great. Okay, everybody, you're listening to Professional Style, and we are talking about the professional election and how it will impact you. So call us up if you have a question or want to join the conversation. 909-265-9189. I'm Kathleen Williams, the host. I'm here with Ronnie and Jerome, and we will be back in a minute. Is there a good question?
Protein Effect, new Special K protein cereal. With 10 grams of protein and 3 grams of fiber, finally a protein cereal to help keep you fuller longer. Willpower, what will you gain when you lose?
Seems like you guys got a little gassed
enough
out.
Already. Come on, guys. Next question.
What's your favorite color?
What's my favorite color?
Yes.
Purple.
What's your favorite animal?
Sea turtle.
What's your bedtime? Do you believe in space aliens?
I love puppies.
Hash browns or home fries?
Home fries.
Do you like my dress?
Why can't you guys ask good questions like this?
For a chance to interview an NFL player, join Visa NFL Fan Offers and make your season epic.
Red Lobster's hitting the streets to tell real people about our new 15 under 15 menu.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh, this looks amazing.
That's a good deal. Wow.
It's so good.
Our new mainstays, 15 entrees under $15, seafood, chicken, and more.
Oh, the tilapia with roasted vegetables.
I'm actually looking at the wood grill chicken with portobello one sauce.
You're so fascinated by the price, and you keep rambling on.
That pork chop was great.
No more fast food Fridays. We gotta go.
That's
We're
it.
Gonna go to Red Lobster.
Yeah.
Try our 15 under 15 menu and see food differently.
Every president inherits challenges. Few have faced so many. 4 years later, our enemies have been brought to justice. Our heroes are coming home. Assembly lines are humming again. There are still challenges to meet. Children to educate, a middle class to rebuild. But the last thing we should do is turn back now.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You are listening to Professional Style. My name is Kathleen Williams. I am your host. And you can call us. We are live on the line right now at 909-265-9189. 909-265-9189 is the call-in number. Press 1 if you call in and want to talk with us. And you can also hit us up online. We are at blogtalkradio.com/Kathleen-Williams. Kathleen spelled with a C. So join us in the conversation. And we are talking about the election. So this is Professional Style. This is a new show here on Blog Talk Radio where we talk about everything as it pertains to your professional elegant living. So from parenting to travel to leisure to entertainment to education, what's going on in your city and how you can upgrade your professional life to whatever you want it to be, taking it to the next level. That's what we talk about here on Professional Style. And tonight we are talking about politics and the election, and we have about to drop some knowledge on us, serious knowledge. Mr. Jerome is
Esprit, political strategist and host of Esprit Net News Radio. Thank you so much, Jerome. Take it away.
Well, I didn't have, you know, that is such a big segue. I don't want to disappoint now, so I'm going to go. I'm going to let you guys take the show back.
You never do. You never do. Don't even try it.
I don't know where to go with that. Okay, well, how about this? Because, you know, I was going to save some of this stuff for news, but next week it'll just seem like it's just so kind of irrelevant. So I want to say, up to this point in the election, the Obama campaign has offered like a general outline of his field operations. So they released some details, and they said that they registered 1,792,000 voters in key battleground states, and that nearly doubled the numbers of voters that their campaign registered in 2008. So they also said, yeah, they also said that they made 125,646,279 phone calls up to this weekend, and from the time that they started. So one out of every 2.5 people in the entire country, the Obama folks actually contacted over the life of their particular campaign.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I know they've called me a million times.
And I don't think they count you more than once. They said the people. That's how many people they contact. So who knows how many times they called everybody, but they made that many personal phone calls.
They called me a million times. And if I didn't get 3 million emails from the White House, Barack Obama, Move.org, David Axelrod, Joe Biden, Michelle Obama, Jill Biden, and Bill Clinton, Bo.
Right.
I mean, really, I have gotten, and you know, the Democratic National Committee, Women for Obama, African Americans for Obama, New York for Obama, Queens for Obama, and more. So they really have a heck of a ground game.
Right. And, you know, let me tell you how bad this ground game is, because history will reflect this, although your TV polling isn't giving you this right now. Here's the numbers that they're releasing. They are saying for Mitt Romney to win, he would have to get 65% of the remaining votes in North Carolina. He would have to have 59% of the votes in Iowa and Colorado, 58% of the votes in Nevada, and 55% of the votes in Florida and Ohio, and also 52% of the vote in Virginia and Wisconsin to win.
Aren't those states that the president happens to be leading in right now?
No, no, no. That's how bad he's leading. That's how big he's leading in the early voter registration.
Right.
So on election day, you know how the polls are saying it's 49-49 and they're tight?
Right.
Well, that doesn't help Mitt Romney in Florida, because he needs to get 55-45 to win Florida or Ohio.
Got it.
Right? So in Virginia, he has to get 52% of the vote. So if it's even, he's still going to lose bad.
Got it. I see what you're saying.
Right. So those are how the numbers look really on the ground, because one-third of the voters overall have already voted in Iowa. You've had almost, I want to say the number is, I know it's more than 20 million votes already cast. So, you know, to look at any polls on TV, even over the last week, is highly just kind of erratic, and they're very inaccurate, because they're considering the people who have not voted. But if those numbers are in the president's favor like that, you can even them out all you want to. You can have 5 million votes and split them 2.5 apiece, and the president's still going to win pretty big.
Right.
You can't go into this thing even. Not the challenger can't.
Right, right. Deep breath, everybody. Take a deep breath.
Well, I am just the messenger on that. And so it's kind of one of those things where you watch this stuff, and I think that the media sometimes, the news, I know the Republicans complain about the news often, but from the polar opposite perspective, they're giving you a really bad false sense of somebody's rigging the elections. Now, I would be worried about the voter machines in Ohio if it was close, because if it's 2 points or less, then throwing out, you know, 100,000 votes is going to make a big difference. But if he's winning by about 10,000 votes, you can throw out 5,000 votes all you want to.
Uh-huh.
So that's why those margins are very important, that those voter irregularity kind of things won't actually affect you. But they have to be really close for them to affect the president.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that. But as we talked about earlier today, it's mm-hmm. still, you know, for everybody who's listening, we hear all the numbers, we hear all the polls, we hear everything, but we still need everybody, as Jerome repeatedly says, you got to vote, you got to vote, you got to vote, you know, don't let, huh?
No, I want to add this on to it. Vote. because here's how this goes. Here's how this goes. They're scaring everybody to death, but we're watching record numbers of black people vote in Georgia. Now, Georgia Secretary of State released this week a story about the fact that they're under 60% of the white vote is registered voters in Georgia. That was this week. 60%
really?
Of the overall vote in Georgia is white vote.
Okay.
Okay, so what that means, just to put that into perspective, is that if 50%, I'm sorry, if 59 or whatever that percent, 59% of it is white voters, that just means that the numeric split is going to be different. So if half of those voters are already women, right, and you take, and I know this is going to be a lot of math, so we're going to do this really quickly.
Well,
right?
let me follow you so far. So 30% of the 60% of the white voters are women.
More than over 50%.
Okay.
So it's like 55% is white female with, you know, about 45% of it male.
Okay.
Okay. You with me?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
I'm with you.
Okay, so just to say that, and I'm actually pulling up the story because I did it this week, or I had it and didn't really talk about it too much. But the issue with that is if the vote is, what's the word I'm looking for? If the voters in Georgia at 60% is just the white vote, and you still have 30% of the black vote, that didn't change. But the reason the white vote came down is because people aren't identifying themselves as white. So the numbers last time in 2008 only had about 1% of the people checking the box for white and everybody else checking other.
Uh-huh.
So now in Georgia, the people who are checking other is something like 6 or 8%.
Okay.
Instead of the box other. So, okay. So here's the math on it. Is that since there are 50% women or 55% women on the in Georgia side, if the president takes 5% of that, right? They're under 50% now. If he takes like 5 or 8% of that, and imagine the African American turnout is historic in Georgia as of last week. Those pre-voter numbers are historic records. They're more than the president got last time. And if they add more people to the pool, you're going to watch Georgia have a close race for the presidency. That's where all
wow.
the racism stuff is coming out in Romney's
right.
land.
Uh-huh.
Because they see these numbers as well. So if they don't scare white folks, the historic numbers that black folks have been turning out that they're not really reporting – is going to, you know, just kind of sweep them.
Wow. What about the Hispanic vote? I mean in the country, the Hispanic vote, because they got that immigration issue.
Right, and they're getting record turnouts. And this is why Nevada is kind of off the grid, because all of these polling results are saying likely voters. And you know Hispanics aren't likely voters. black people aren't likely voters, and so they are not even counting them. That's why those polling numbers are wrong.
Oh.
Right? So if you're taking a likely voter model and you have historic turnout, now the Obama campaign has already said that we got out over 1,500,000 people who were not likely voters. We already took them to the polls. We got them in early voting. That will be the surprise of political strategy if you ever seen one. Because the likely voter models is who you think, like people keep saying, if people turn out, if they turn out. And the Obama campaign knows this. We already took them out. They've already voted.
Right.
So the people who the Obama folks targeted in early voting were people who were sporadic voters, and they got them to the polls.
That's
the
incredible.
The people like me don't early vote because I always
right.
vote anyway. So it's no
right.
big deal for us to say, let me make sure I get out and vote. Let me make sure I get out and vote. So, none of us would be targeted. The people who normally vote weren't targeted by the campaign to get out. But they did target people, young kids, students. That's why that lead is so big. So those numbers in Georgia, they kind of put the Asian, Pacific, Hispanic, Latino, and Native American, they put them all in the same pile. And that group, you know, they said that made up the other group was between, 3.6% in 2008 and it's 8% today. So the decline of the white vote had been steady in Georgia since 2001. It used to be 72%, and now it's 59%.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and you just explained it, of course. So I do have a question about the states like Texas and Arizona, where that immigration question was so huge. And I think it was Arizona where that Jeep just got caught over the border or on the fence trying to drive a Jeep over the border. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it.
They put
okay.
up a ramp at the border over at the fence from Mexico into Arizona, and they tried to drive the Jeep right over it, and the Jeep got caught on the top of the fence. And when the border patrol went after them, they jumped out of the Jeep, stuck at the top of the fence, and ran back into Mexico.
Okay.
But anyway,
no, I did.
I just thought I would provide that. That's for real. But anyway.
Yeah. Thanks. Good time.
Arizona, Texas, and, you know, I guess even parts of Southern California, but what about those states?
Well, those, they're getting big turnout. So, you know, the Hispanic Latino voters are coming out in numbers as well. So with Nevada,
yeah.
even in Colorado, that they are claiming, you know, I don't like those labels because who's making that up, calling them battleground states without just trying to influence you one way or another. And like I said, when those numbers come back, they'll be making all kind of excuses, but there's no way that that nobody's seeing this stuff coming, right? I know I've done this stuff for years, and you have political strategists on staff, but the problem is that some people age out of that process from what they think is going to happen. Old white folks think this, you know, as strategists, because I've been in a lot of those rooms, oh, yeah, nobody's going to come out. Even though they see those numbers out there, like I see them, they're like, oh, no, that's not true. Because they've already voted, so they're not going to come out and vote. They don't know that they targeted a certain segment to get them out in early voting.
Right.
They wouldn't know that.
I see. Okay.
Right? They don't deal with black people. So the issue is when you have no relationship with black folks, you can't anticipate behavior.
Right.
Right? So you would never think Governor Chris Christie would kiss up to the president like that. You would never have thought that.
Never.
Right. But
I would have never thought that Michael Bloomberg would have came out and just publicly say, I'm going to endorse him. I almost fell over the couch.
You know what? But don't. Because this is one thing you need to know about politicians. They don't like to be on a losing end of jack. He saw the power of the president as well. Right? It's a snowball rolling. So you're like, this dude is the man.
Yeah.
So if Bloomberg wants to run for office, guess what will happen even in New York if President Obama campaigned against Bloomberg?
Yeah, they'll be mad at him.
Well, the power of that presidency is nothing to play with.
Right.
And that's why Clinton is so happy.
He's happy as he could be.
oh my gosh, that's the thing. Like they keep saying, you know what, he got his energy back. And it's like, yeah, because he goes into Obama's crowd and they love Obama, so now
that's
they love
right.
Clinton.
So they love him. It's like Christmas.
Exactly. Right. Everybody keeps saying, oh, you know, Clinton is bringing a fire for Obama. Mm-mm. He had a record number president today in New Hampshire. The record was about 8,000 for a rally in New Hampshire, who has only 43,000 people or something
wow.
in that area that they were in. The record is 8,000 people. Do you know the president had 14,000 people? The
what,
record is 8.
The population?
Of that particular town, yeah, of that particular area, yes.
Wow, that's amazing.
They're like, the president is getting record turnout, and he's just stopping it for a second, like, yo, and they're getting out of there. So I just want to say, just not in all kind of way, I'm saying this for a historic reference, is to ease your mind in this stuff so that you can enjoy the process instead of the worrying part of this, because people are worrying you unnecessarily. I think Nate Silver at the New York Times 538 blog has the president at an 83% chance of winning and Romney at 16.
Wow.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Nate Silver.
Yeah, what they do is throughout the race, he's kind of like a sports odds maker, kind of. Yeah, but they've been doing this. They did this for the last election as well. And so what he does is aggregate the polling numbers. So instead of taking the pollsters that are new, that they're making up, and the people who don't have experience in it, he won't use their numbers as outliers. And then he'll use the other aggregated numbers, and they'll come up with a total. And he's saying, you know, of course the Republicans attacked him. And he goes, you know, that's interesting. I've never been attacked for that. He's just a numbers guy. But he's saying, you know, but from his perspective, he's saying, here is the problem. The problem is that you guys are on the wrong side of this. There is no way that we can lie to even make your numbers better.
Wow.
What do you want us to do with this? So, you know, Nate Silver is just kind of one of those people who can't, I mean, you're not going to really do anything with him. He's just
okay,
a number.
Carl Rove.
What about him?
Well, he said that they asked, did President Obama get a huge bump from the, from his absolutely magnificent handling of this natural disaster, and the fact that he went to New Jersey and he and Christy bonded, and they, you know, did so well as a team.
Right.
And Carl Rove said absolutely. So I'm wondering who's Carl Rove.
You said who's Carl Rove?
Well, not that we don't know.
Yeah,
we know who he
is,
but
But think about it this way. No matter what.
In my opinion, he was an adversary. Am I wrong?
Well, Karl Rove's job is to always make the president look bad. And so now those guys are in the business of making up an excuse. So what's going on now is that the Republicans need to cover their butts. And so what's tomorrow? And you're going to see people leaking out stuff. You know, here's why Romney was going to lose. And because as a professional, you want another job doing campaigns. So
right.
You can't go down with the ship. They will jump ship like it's nobody's business. That's why
they're
throwing Chris Christie under the bus.
What'd you say? That's why what?
They're throwing Chris Christie under the bus as a Republican. Because they need to use an excuse. Like, we were on the right path, and it was his fault.
Right, right. Because he was chummy with the guy, that the president.
No.
That's why...
Right. No. I'm saying that's an excuse. There is no way that Chris Christie gave the president a bump at all. People voted already.
No, you were saying that's why they're throwing him under the bus, saying that, so that they
right.
can have something that they can use.
Right. They need to actually make some kind of reasoning of why they are believing or why what's happening is happening.
Right.
But my interesting thing is like fools like Chuck Todd and those guys. Because,
oh, gosh, I know your favorite person.
Well, you know what? Because they irritate me with that, right? You can mask yourself as a media person or a nonpartisan political person, but they are obviously rooting for one side or the other.
Yeah, I think Chuck Todd should just join the Republican Party and work for them because he's so biased. It's despicable.
Right.
It's so obvious.
You can see. I don't know if you saw it after the debates. Like, he was on the Democratic side, and he was pissed. Like, he was mad, but when he's around Republicans, he's happy.
I saw him, and I watched him the other night, and they were asking him a question, and it's like he couldn't even answer without, you know, his face twisting up.
Yeah,
you know?
He doesn't hide it well. He doesn't know that he's doing that either, Kathleen.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of what we teach as strategists as well, right?
Yeah.
Body language and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you say, listen, you know, when you say this, this is how you're looking. But he's not getting that. He's on TV, so he doesn't have to answer to anybody. He has a show. So he's not doing that for running for office. He's doing that as his own personal discontent.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was going to say, that's why racist folks don't think that we know that they're racist when you're around black folks. But because if you're not used to hiding your face, you're like, hey, how you doing? but that is the thing. Like, they don't see that coming, and they don't think that their body language changes what we know.
Yep. So there's this guy that I cannot think of his name on Morning Joe, and he's been on there, I think, almost all week. He's the guy, like platinum blonde mixed with gray, kind of very casually dressed. He wears a sport jacket, but not a shirt and tie and so forth, and, you know, just real casual. And he's the far liberal, very, I can't think of his name. But
he's on Morning Joe?
On Morning Joe.
Okay.
And the who is it? Kaya on, is her name Kaya on Morning
Mika.
Joe?
Mika Brzezinski? Mm-hmm.
Right. So Mika was defending Romney and Chris Christie and acting as though she just couldn't get it why people were asking Christie about his politics during the hurricane or in the aftermath of the hurricane. And this other, so they kept asking this guy that I'm talking to you about, and Reverend Al Sharpton was on there as well. This guy that I'm talking about, he kept saying, look, play that clip of Mitt Romney. Just play that clip. I want everybody to see that this man has no compassion. He has, there's just no feeling. There's nothing emoting from him. He's cold as ice. They kept trying to shut him up. And they're like, just play the clip. Just play the clip. And they played the clip. And when they came back, he's like, see? You know, he's like, you get no feeling from him whatsoever. It's like he just doesn't get it. And it was true. It was true. You look at him, his lips are all tight, and he just basically,
Ryan's holding up the napkin like he was holding the can with the two fingers.
You know, he just, you know, he waits for people to clap, and then he purses his lips, and then, you know,
he's smirking at him.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead, clap.
Wait.
Yeah, exactly. And he is that to the nth degree. I've seen it in other presidents before, but, you know, Bush had a lot of that. But he is that. He has the energy of smugness.
Yeah, he's the poster child of smugness.
To the nth degree. And it would be frightening to me to have someone like that at the head of the country. I mean, I know we did in the 60s and the 70s, you know, but now to have someone like that with the diversity of the world, to have someone with that level of smugness in the White House, I think is dangerous.
I have a question.
And what? And you'll trust him?
No, I said I have a question about his comments about what he was going to do to Japan. I mean, China. And he's going to bring them up on charges.
Oh, I don't believe any of that.
I think people lie
when they don't think that you can check on them. Right? So he's the poster child for that. Like, so he's lied so much that and they said it from their campaign. They don't care if you fact check them. They're saying whatever they can say to get somebody to vote for them. So, you know, I was doing Clear Channels earlier. This white guy calls in, And he was like, my mother has Obamacare or had an insurance company. And since Obamacare kicked in, they kicked her off of her insurance company because they raised the premiums and the employer said that he needed to switch to a cheaper company. And now she can't get checked for cancer screenings. She called me crying and upset that she could do that. I said, stop lying. Because here's what you need to do. And he tried to sound real sad about it, but, you know, my compassion towards that is just not there. I'm saying I understand how this stuff works in a processing sense. From a very practical sense, how that works is that if you have insurance and you're a senior and your insurance doesn't cover something, you can get Medicare.
That's absolutely right.
So Medicare does not tell you you can't get any pre-cancer screenings. That's a part of the Affordable Care Act.
That's right.
If your insurance company drops you from that, tell your mother to call the state or call the county to figure out how to get Medicare subsidization to get pre-cancer screenings. Don't call here telling us just because you're scared of the president that is true, because I know it's not.
That's right.
Any more questions? So anyway.
Well, I was saying that about the Chinese. Does that affect them, or they don't even hear him?
It affect them if he had a chance to win, because you got to worry about sentiment. Like the issue with the markets and the way this stuff works is that the president has a responsibility on his language. So that's why Romney can be reckless and the president can't. Because they do affect markets when you start leaking out stuff that you can and can't do. So when it looks like they can play us all they want in the papers about how close Romney is and how this race looks, but if there was a real fear out there, one way or another, it would be affected. You would see other people, you know, putting op-eds in and China making some statements officially.
Yeah.
And when they don't start moving, you can almost guarantee that they're not listening to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the biggest thing, I don't know if you...
He was very offensive. In my opinion, he was very offensive. I'm not saying that he wasn't right. I don't know. I just thought he was very offensive when he made those comments about bringing China up on charges for their trade.
First of all, that was just rhetoric.
It was rhetoric. And then the president said to him, oh, but by the way, you are investing with those same companies, and so. But I wonder how come the other people don't hear him. You know, like the people that want to vote for him don't hear that. I don't get it. Not that it matters.
Because they hate. They hate. Just listen to Fox News. That's why they're not. You know, they wouldn't cover the hurricane. They still talked about Benghazi. They've been on Benghazi for the last whole week. The reason that they have limited coverage on the hurricane is ever since Christie went on there and said, I don't give a damn about this presidential election. That's pretty much the last time they had him on Fox.
Yeah.
So they can't cover Sandy. They can't cover the hurricane stuff because that's going to always show too much of the president.
Right. And then also, this, in my opinion, he really did he jumped ship. I'm sorry.
Who jumped ship?
Christie. That's what Ronnie believes, he jumped ship. And I was like, I think he's going to vote for Romney. But he's like,
I don't think he jumped ship, Ronnie.
Huh?
I don't think he jumped ship, no.
Chris Christie?
No. You have a responsibility. When people elect you to office, and I can tell you, I've had this talk with a lot of politicians. When they win, the first thing I tell them is I think you need to understand something about what your responsibility is. When you go into office, the people who elect you are technically your boss. So you don't – your policies from running is based upon what is best for the public, not for the people who are donating to your campaign. You're donating to a campaign to manipulate them to believe something one way or another, but they can get your butt out of here. And once the people lose confidence in you, then you have anarchy and stuff on the ground. So that's why politicians are very careful about getting uprisings against them. That's why when you get a new mayor, They never change the people who are running the projects. You know why? Because if they change the folks who run the projects, and that's a new system and a new standard of rules, any slight change that they make may have the residents tear up. So they never change them.
Okay.
If you ever had someone in the project asked that.
Is that why I canceled the marathon? We need to talk about that for quick.
They weren't going to take bad press of Staten Island. If they would have ran that marathon and started in Staten Island without – do you know who's in Staten Island? FEMA. Federal government is in Staten Island. New York City is not helping Staten Island like that. So when you have to direct resources, just like in Trenton, New Jersey, right? One of the interesting numbers about what's going on is in Trenton, New Jersey, they had 100 FEMA workers on the ground one day, and the very next day they had 700.
Wow.
FEMA says, and this is why the power of the presidency is important, because when your state and local government is not helping you, federal says, we got this. And that's what the president did.
Right.
Right? And
right.
So with Staten Island, they're not getting a lot of resources from the city. FEMA's going in there feeding people. They're saying, look,
right,
we're going to pull up a big boat up next to this island, and we're going to have to do something because you guys are disconnected from the mainland, and we need to worry about the mainland. We can't ship stuff over from Manhattan when Manhattan don't have no power.
Right. We got to get it directly to you.
Right. So they're getting their resources from a different area.
So now then back to around to the marathon, in order to run that marathon successfully, they have to then draw at least some attention away from the distribution to the marathon itself.
Nope, it's not even the distribution. It is you have to clear roads, you have to get policemen out, you have to clear lanes, you're going to bring DPW out. You're taking resources from the cleanup and from getting people power from streets that are blocked off. What, are you going to clear roads just to do a marathon when you can't clear somebody's road to get their power back on?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense. That's bad policy on a political end, so you don't want to do that. And plus, they said there was an online petition that within a couple of hours, they got 45,000 signatures telling them to not do the marathon.
Right.
Politicians listen to votes. That's why black people, I think, need to understand kind of as cultural, is that forget talking noise about I don't vote for him because I'm black. You need to vote in a block. If somebody in your neighborhood gets shot by a police and the police department don't do anything, you need to say, everybody need to say, your butt won't be in office. I don't care how low gas prices are. You're not killing us no more. If black people acted in that manner, politicians would listen to black people more often.
Oh, well, all righty then.
Okay. Sorry,
we
didn't bring that down.
And we
have
Berger
made him take his tie off. Yeah, he took his tie off. He went to the streets of Staten
Island. Yeah, finally.
He hadn't been there all week.
Finally. But, no, it's the truth. And we've been talking about this block voting for the longest, and prayerfully it will continue to move. But those online petitions are very powerful. Very powerful.
Right.
So I'm very happy that he canceled that marathon.
Yeah. And you know why? Because people who have internet are still in a different socioeconomic spot, too. Internet's not cheap. Somebody pays a monthly fee for that.
Yeah.
So the demographics are still different, even when you get things online.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So, Ronnie, did you have a rave tonight?
You did.
We didn't break into her rave, but she had one.
Ronnie's full of music.
Ronnie's what?
Ronnie's School of Looting.
Oh, God. Ronnie's School of Looting was her rave.
That was her rave. What did these people do? Go to Looting University 101?
Well, my deal is that people need to stop being so, impatient, rude, and a lady cursed. Okay, I do have a rave.
Okay. We can stop music for her rave. Wait a minute. Hold on.
The mayor finally got his tie off and put on his very fine Brooks Brothers leather jacket and went up to, you know, very looking very collegiate and very preppy and went to Staten Island. He's out there. They're taking questions, and some person will remain colorless, runs up to the mayor, and F'd him every way but loose. Every way but Sunday. F you this, and we ain't got F in that, and you need to do F in this, and you F you in that. So the police finally just shoved her out of the way.
It was a woman? Mm-hmm. Okay.
A woman, a police officer just shoved her out of the way. Get her off the camera. So if she's listening, put that down.
Hey, you never know.
Where were you raised? How dare you come on public airways and curse out the mayor of the city? The only person that could possibly get
you
some assistance. You know you didn't have food last week or the week before that. Because if you did, you wouldn't act like we are acting who have no life either. You would behave yourself. We don't have life. We didn't have life for a week. We did not get on camera. We did not curse. We did not yell. We were, you know, it's not the most comfortable thing to wear the same sweater for 3 weeks. I've had on the same sweater for a solid week. You know, and it's changing it here and there, putting something under it, putting something over it, that kind of thing. Haven't been in my house in a solid week. But if I were to get in conference with the mayor, there's no way I would do anything but be respectful. And that's where we always lose. Because there is a way to talk to the mayor so that he'll say, well, you know what, let me see if I can get you a little job here or there. I mean, that's pushing it, but you know what I'm saying. Try to help and not have him just recoil and say, ugh, you know.
That's why I don't come out here, or whatever. Yeah.
Boy, we need a flag to throw on Ronnie. I think she crossed the line, didn't she? We should throw a flag on Ronnie for that last one.
For that black on black crime. That's tomorrow's joke.
We won that show last week, but the wind was blowing so hard, Jerome. You were talking this day, isn't it?
Kai.
Yeah, and I listened. I did. But the wind was blowing so hard, and I just couldn't focus.
Okay.
But next tomorrow, I'll be better.
We have to see if we're doing black on black crime tomorrow. Let me make sure.
I don't know
what we're going to be talking about on there.
Indeed. But one thing she did, she said that the person would remain colorless.
Yeah, but so that implied that the person had color. She wanted the person to remain colorless. That's a black on black crime. She told us that by telling us that I'm going to take the color away from this person. That's what she told us. Nice try.
That's funny. Well, I was just, and so that would go into your black or white segment, though, Jerome, because it was Staten Island, you see.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that's Staten Island. So.
Okay. Just checking to see if it was Staten Island.
Yeah, you are listening to Professional Style. We will be here for 2 more seconds at 909-265-9189. If you want to get your comment in quick, give us a call. I'm here with Ronnie and Jerome. 909-265-9189. You're listening to Professional Style. And we have had a wonderful time talking about Hurricane Sandy. And even with the comic relief, we are sending our prayers and our love out to all of you who have been affected and impacted by the storm. Certainly, keep safe. Take care of yourself. If you are in those gas lines, make sure you have enough food and some water and plenty of blankets because the temperature is down to the 30s this evening. And we'll be in the 30s all this week. So make sure you be careful. Look out for your lights. Don't overload your circuits. Unplug your appliances and be safe. You are listening to Cassie Williams' Professional Style, where we talk about everything that will upgrade your professional life, from parenting to education to leisure travel, style, professional style. I'm your host, Kathleen Williams, and have a phenomenal week. Thank you so much, Lonnie. Thank you so much, Jerome, for being here for another week. And we will see you next Sunday evening at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio on the Ask Kathleen Network. Make sure you join Jerome and Finesse tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday, for Black on Black Crime, the show that is sweeping the airwaves. You have got to tune in 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the Ask Kathleen Network. And make sure you join Jerome on Thursday nights at 11 p.m. on Esprit.net News Radio for Esprit.net News. Thanks, everybody. Have a phenomenal week. You're listening to Professional Style. This is Kathleen signing out. Have a great time.